Roll it.
The Shaggy Jenkins Show.
We have to make Russia great again.
On the Pacifica Radio Network.
It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome to it. Oh, God, do we have a lot to cover today, including Sarah's leaving, Kelly's not. Trump's sanity is probably already gone because of what polls have been telling him, what's been happening. We'll cover that, some lies, some foreign intelligence, Mike Pompeo getting mad at a Fox News commentator, and so much more as we dive into the week of news. Before we get to all of that, hi, I am currently not suffering from dementia, and my name is Shaggy Jenkins. You can find me at my website, shaggyjenkins.com, or wherever fine social media is served, at Shaggy Live. Joining me from the district of West Texas, where he is gladly taking a summer break from his duties, at least some of them. Please welcome educator, former politician, and all-around swell guy. Please give it up for Drew Landry.
Hey, I'm here. I'm ready. Let's dive.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about dad bod, shall we? And America's best dad bod, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, will be leaving her position soon, according to an announcement from Trump's White House last week. Drew, this is one of the things that I want to bring up about Sarah Sanders. Okay. Mm-hmm. She lies an awful lot. Is Trump going to be able to replace that?
I don't know if he's going to be able to replace somebody who knowingly and willingly just lies. But I think what he might be looking for is somebody who is unequivocally on his side. Now, maybe that includes, you know, maybe that assumes 100% lying, but I don't know if anyone can do it with a straight face as the way, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders did. You know, there's a lot of talk going on about, you know, who's going to replace her, you know, that little sweepstakes and that little, you know, I guess we can say, you know, NBA draft style of things are taking place right now. What some reports are bringing out is that, you know, there's a bit of a short list of these candidates, and one of them is Stephanie Grisham, who's the first lady's deputy of chief of staff, who you actually used to work in the White House, you know, in the White House for the president. So she kind of, I don't know, went from one team to the next, and now, you know, the president wants her back. So but You know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is you know, weighing in as to who her replacement should be or would be, and kind of doing what the president wants, and doing all these little, you know, little checks of naughty and nice, and who can you know be the best liar for this White House, and it looks like that the president really wants Grisham.
Yeah, because this is the thing that I kind of understand about this whole process. They're using the word Team Trump. Sarah and everybody, as far as the cabinet members and stuff, is like, well, we got to make sure they're on Team Trump. Now, before we talk too deeply about the times that Sarah Huckabee Sanders has lied, the weird Handmaid's Tale-like drama that's about to unfold between the East and West Wing, where Melania is grabbing Grissom going, no, you cannot go. No, do not let them take you. Do not let the Donald take you. You know, which, if I'm keeping record, we're about on season 3, episode 2 of this BS. But
yeah.
When we talk about that drama in just a little bit, we should probably start it off with, what is this weird above loyalty to Constitution alliance that people like Sarah Huckabee Sanders represent? And why is it so important to scrutinize this short list to find somebody that's on Team Trump, not Team United States of America?
You know, that should be the whole thing that matters is, you know, are you on the side of the Constitution? Are you on the side of the American people in your view? Are you on the side of just, you know, of doing the right thing? I mean, look, I understand how you know, party politics can get involved in things. I understand how maybe they want someone, how any administration, Democratic or Republican, would want someone to be loyal to the party and in some aspects being loyal to their message and to the work that they're doing. I think any president would want that out of any press secretary, to not necessarily spin the truth, but you know, put their ideas in the daily briefings, or however briefings that they want to give. But what this administration has done is taken that particular expectation and just amplified it to the nth degree. I mean, that's just where we are when it comes to this. I mean, everything that we've ever expected has been thrown out the window. And this has sadly become something of new normal. I mean, this president wants loyalty. I mean, he wanted loyalty out of Comey. He wanted loyalty out of perhaps even Mueller. He wanted loyalty out of anybody who has served under him. He's demanded some type of loyalty, like he's a mob boss or some sort of authoritarian. This is not normal. This is not right. I mean, yes, presidents need to be, you know, they need to have people on their team and people who they can trust. I totally get that. But the degree that this president has done with his press secretary and his message has made it very mob-like, very Godfather-esque, and it's incredibly scary and really just incredibly wrong to the Constitution and to the institution of the executive branch.
Yeah, because when we're talking about the press secretary, this is something that I don't think people quite remember, because we have gone so far down the Trumpian rabbit hole that we have forgotten normal. And right now, we are at a record-setting 96 days, 97 days of no press conferences from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She either impromptu brings people into her office or greets them on the driveway to the White House like she's checking the mail or something. Hi, y'all. I just thought I'd tell you what we're doing in the big house. All right. Oh, look, the cable bill's in. Bye, y'all. I mean, there's been no formalized press conference from her in almost 100 days. And I hate to say this, but I kind of remember a different philosophy of being press secretary, where you actually interacted with the press and told us truthfully what was happening in our government. It was a part of transparency. And she has done everything in her power to set the precedent of being very opaque when it comes to things and how they are discussed with the media. Now, Drew, this is the thing that I kind of want to bring up, because you've mentioned a couple of names, you know, during this whole thing. So I want to kind of dissect those names. And the first name that we have to bring up, because this is a name that I think started off the whole, oh my God, this woman is prepared to lie, bold-faced, lie to the American public, to the American media, lie. And this was the first one. It was about James Comey. Remember when she came forward and said, you know, the reason the president really got rid of him is because, well, he was just very unpopular with the intelligence community. A lot of the federal agents didn't like working with him. They thought he was a little bit of a showboat. The agencies all came forward and said, the hell are you talking about? And the FBI in particular was like, the hell?
Yeah.
That was the first example that we had of how far she was willing to stretch, in this case, break the truth when it came to matters that made the president look bad.
Yep.
Now, Drew, when they talk about Team Trump, that's what they really are looking for. Somebody that will go out and say, let's just face it, he was an average FBI director, James Comey.
Yeah. Yeah. What the Republicans and Team Trump, as I'm pretty comfortable using that term, so I think I might be using that very, you know, quite often, likes to throw it in the face of the left and of Democrats is, you guys hated him during the 2016 election because of the whole investigation of the emails with Hillary Clinton. And now you're all saying, giving him this big badge of honor and all this stuff. But I think the way that you have characterized it is best suited. He was, he's a Republican, appointed by a Republican president to do that job. And so this is a guy who has not been exactly great. He hasn't been nearly as terrible as what the president seems to think that he has been, but he's just been about as average as he could be. I mean, he's been very defensive of the intelligence community, and I think everybody who has any kind of sense about themselves can understand why. Well, it's because it, you know, he was part of it for so long. So, you know, for the president and Sarah Huckabee Sanders to trash him just speaks to how their loyalty is really above all and the end all be all. I mean, what he promised the president, because the president had a dinner or some sort of meal with him and said, I need your loyalty. And Comey says, well, look, I can give you as bad as honesty as I can. I can't give you loyalty. My loyalty is to the Constitution. And well, that didn't sit too well. So then we started to see the constant attacks that the president and his team, being Sarah Huckabee Sanders, do whenever somebody who can't play up to the game 100%, they go on the attack. And so he was subjected to many, many attacks. And then he's eventually fired. And he's not fired because he's unpopular to work with. He's fired because he wasn't on Team Trump. And that's just what it came down to. And regardless if the president or Press Secretary Sanders wants to give you the whole truth, that's essentially what it was. And you bring that up to him, oh, no, that's not blah, 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 blah. Not at all.
But the thing about that is, this is what really fascinates me, is because once she was done lying about Comey and really stretching the truth about Mueller, really stretching it,
mm-hmm.
before she outright lied, let's not forget, that happened later. But she's already lied about Comey. She's stretching the truth on Mueller and his increasing investigation. Then she goes full on crazy and says things like, oh, I know there's allegations of the president saying the N-word behind camera during the time that the show The Apprentice was on. But I'm going to tell you that the president has actually created more jobs than Barack Obama did for African Americans. We've created 700,000 jobs. Barack Obama created 195. And then the fact checkers at the actual White House came forward and said, Barack Obama created 1.3 million jobs for African Americans. You've only created 700,000. Your metrics are a little off. She never came forward and said that what she said was an outright lie. She just came forward and said, oh, Trump does good for African Americans. I might have been off. So, Drew, that was the second time that the American public had a WTF moment with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and yet nobody at this point was ready to pump the brake. So then we move into... oh, God. It gets so much worse from there. I don't know whether I want to go into the Charlottesville stuff, the white supremacy stuff, the nationalist statement stuff, the attacks against S-hole nation stuff.
Yeah.
There are dozens of examples of Huckabee Sanders outright lying to the American public. And when we see that this pool has come forward, and especially with people that are already D.C. insiders, Trump insiders, that is, how nervous are we that the next press secretary is just going to give us more of the same BS?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we expect. I don't think we expect a whole lot of difference from what Huckabee Sanders was doing, especially since she's all more or less gets to hand pick really who her successor is. She has played along. She's been an accomplice to the ongoing lies, to the ongoing deception that has been the message of this White House. I mean, nobody has been more forthright in not telling the truth as this administration has been. And so she's been the mouthpiece. And I just think it's incredibly sad that we expect that from that this has become really just the whole new normal. I mean, you know, we have to kind of, you know, put this in context with past administrations. And what I mean by that is a lot of people are going to say, well, don't all press secretaries stretch the truth and try to give a positive spin? Well, yeah, sure. Yes, press secretaries will give a version that is going to benefit the president and is going to benefit the party's message, all that. And I think that is something that we can really expect. And it may be, three quarters of the truth. It may be, their version of the truth. But what we've seen from this administration has been the most pants on fire, the most lies, the most half-truth, if that's even, the best that they can give, on nearly any particular claim. And so when it comes to her, it's just like she is, it's like if somebody put a blanket over, President Trump, and people walked up and said, why is President Trump under that blanket? And she'd say, not that President Trump is not under the blanket. What she'd say, there's no blanket over anybody. And that would be some of the most blatant false things that she has said and she continues to say. But I think the biggest thing that bothers me, other than the lies, is the fact that she's translucent, not transparent. She's shoddy, spotty with her relationship with the media. She doesn't like to hold these daily, biweekly, any other type of regular sort of press conferences or any type of briefing that she has with the media. And that is not what we expect. I mean, that is just a complete reflection of how President Trump has dealt with the media, how he plans to deal with the media, and how they are continually being, in his view, and he's the only one to really say this, the enemy of the people. And so they will be treated as such. You don't get the whole truth. You ask any particular question, you're somehow harassing. You are fake news. You don't do anonymous sources, and that bothers the president whenever you do anonymous sources. And this type of wah, you're talking bad about me, is and then I'm not going to talk to you anymore. That is so fourth grade. That is so juvenile, and not the rapper who we all can enjoy, but this is just so playground basic crap. And the next press secretary is probably just going to do more of the same.
We could actually sit here and probably do the rest of this show about how the lies from Sarah Huckabee Sanders have actually had political, economical, and diplomatic consequences across the board. We could probably do this whole rogues gallery of a tumbling spider graph of all of the times that she has lied and different things have happened from it. But I'm going to bring up, because I want to switch to this subject out of New York, which is kind of got me a little bit excited, because when we talk about people and lies and damage, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Whose lie did the worst damage, Drew? Sarah Huckabee Sanders, when it comes to everything, or Jenny McCarthy and vaccine?
This is close. I'm not going to lie, but I think the winner is Jenny McCarthy and the anti-vax movement. That is just complete nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I've had personal interactions with anti-vax groups whenever I ran for office, and they've interacted with me on social media, and and telling me that this has been caused by this, and vaccinations are caused by this, they do this stuff and it's because of this, and yada 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 yada. This constant misinformation, the fact that they know it, they know at least. Well, I take that back. I want to think that they know it. I want to think that they are giving this misinformation on purpose. They choose to believe it. And I think that is a far worse crime than ignoring the truth. And while they think what they have is the truth, which is based on a false claim that has been redacted and just absolutely rejected by the science community and the medical areas, they continue to perpetrate this lie and praise this terrible doctor. So the lies of Jenny McCarthy, the lies of now Jessica Biel, who I used to have the biggest crush on, by the way, Robert Kennedy Jr., who I love his father, don't really care much about you, Jr. They're bringing this out. They are going to state legislatures. They're lobbying to get as much exemptions for vaccination shots. This is, I'm just.
That's where I kind of want to stop you, because here's the thing. By law, certain institutions deem that you have to be vaccinated to go to them, and certain
yes.
activities that you take place in the United States, either in the civil, public service, or even, you know, traveling, you do have to be vaccinated. Now, a big exemption that rolled out at the federal level that empowered people not too long ago to stop vaccinating their kids, which, by the way, this year led to a record-setting over 1,000 and climbing cases of childhood measles. Congratulations, America. You're number one again in a bad thing. But when it comes to the vaccination exemption, the biggest one that has existed at the federal and state level in most cases has been what's called a religious exemption. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in transfusions and things like that. So, of course, the vaccine is kind of along those same lines. You get where this is going. They can claim a religious exemption and not have to vaccinate their kids if they so choose.
Yep.
New York passed a law this last week that said, we will end all religious exemptions for vaccines. Get your kids freaking vaccinated. And I am going to make a controversial statement. Good on you, New York. More states should follow suit. Drew, am I being dogmatic or pragmatic when I say that?
No, you're being very pragmatic in this. What those anti-vaxxers will tell you is you're dogmatic and you're just forcing your own thing. Well, let me tell you something. One of the biggest side effects of a vaccine is a birthday. Let that sit in. I mean, that's what it is. Whereas a side effect from not getting a vaccine is, measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, polio,
scarlet fever,
all other types of things that should be and has been eradicated are making a comeback because of these people who say, I don't want chemicals in my body, okay, or I don't want them near shots. I mean, you see this both from the far right and the far left. They actually have some common ground here, and it's so incredibly odd to me, but whatever.
Yeah.
There is one particular concern that I would have. It's a pretty small one. They're not a big population, and they're really tend to themselves, and that's the Amish. I mean, you can pretty much tell if anyone is Amish, and usually a lot of those religious exemption laws, like we talked about, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you can claim that and say, well, I'm not, we don't believe in that. It'd be pretty hard if you were not Amish to claim that you were. And I think it'd be a pretty telling thing because usually they are protected from these religious exemptions. So I could see why, they would continue to want to have that. I don't know if you've ever been to an Amish inhabited area, but, it's like taking a trip back to the, early 1900s, late 1800s, this type of a world. And so I could see why they might have some concerns with it. But by and large, this type of law should be supported, and so other states should really follow suit. I mean, look, you know, I'm down here in Texas. And we have the growing exemption list for students when they enter into elementary school of not being vaccinated. And that is so incredibly sad, and that is so wrong. It's just shocking to me that people are feeding into this ongoing lie, this ongoing misinformation that, oh, well, you know, if I get this shot, you know, I could suddenly get autism. Or if I get this shot, I might have a head growing above my other head. Just weird stuff. I mean, I just made that one up. But you know, this is the type of things that we're hearing, and it's just completely off base.
You know, and this is the thing. It's because we've got to take a break here in just a second. So I'm just going to close out this whole thing with this simple thought: public health shouldn't be a matter of personal choice. It should be a matter of public health.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what this has turned into. And that's why New York acted. That's why other states should act on this too.
Yep. And we'll be right back after this. This is Shaggy Jigga Joe.
Dig deeper. Remove the hype. Find the facts. It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network.
It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome back to it. Oh, if you missed any part of the first part of our show, we talked about lying liars and the liars that support them, the inside cabal that formed within our government for some odd reason, and somehow how this all links around to New York saying, maybe you should vaccinate yourself. Going through this trot of all things news with me is, of course, a guy out of West Texas who, right now, let's just say, has had a stunning, stunning vacation from class so far. Please welcome back Drew Landry.
Hey, man, I'm back. I'm happy to be with you again. Happy Father's Day to all fathers.
Oh, yeah, because, see, that's the thing. You know, this is the first show that we're doing, so this is like the post-fatherhood show. So I should say, if you follow me on social media, I apologize about my language on Father's Day, but not about the message. So, and if you want to look that up at Shaggy Live at your discretion, it is not safe for work. talking about things that are not safe for work, Drew, drinking water from Flint, Michigan, definitely not safe for work, is it?
No, it isn't. And, you know, I get frustrated a lot with a lot of things, and I'm you're a person who has feelings and you care about others, and you get frustrated with this too. And you know, look, the people of Flint, Michigan have been feeling this dirty water, bathing, trying not to drink it, trying not to use it in any particular way. I mean, just try to not use water in your life at some point. See how far you go. Well, this is what we're and this is what they've been dealing with now. So for the past 3 years, there was a criminal case that was going to be used. And what we find out just a few days ago is that the prosecutor said, all right, nope, we're dropping the charges. Dropping the charges against these officials who knew that this was happening. And then these officials get sued in a civil case, which, you know, that as they should be. They then go to the Supreme Court asking for them to block this civil case from going forward. And Sonia Sotomayor has a brain, which is great, and says, no, I'm not blocking this. This will continue. So the civil case goes on. The prosecutorial, whatever the word is, case from the city government and the people to the officials, that's been dropped. Hmm. And I'm going, what is life? What is happening? And, you know, that's where we are with this.
Yeah, I mean, besides naming my favorite Black Uhuru song, what is life? By the way, you should look that up if you've never listened to reggae. It's wonderful. When you're asking a question such as, what is life? You're kind of trying to figure out between, is it the prosecutorial, let's see.
Thank you.
There we go. Or the civil case that will be the winner at the end of the day. And in the court's mind, they tossed out the one that was from the state side where, and this is the accent that we have to use whenever we talk about stories of public officials and public entities forgiving other public officials for doing things that the public saw them do. We have to talk with this accent. The state investigation found out that there was no wrongdoing on the part of the 9 fine comrades, counselors, who enacted the Flint water changeover plan. Now, and after we ruin water, we are going to go look for moose and squirrel. This is the thing. When you talk about stories like that, it does seem kind of heavy-handed that the state forgives the state workers for screwing up people that lived in the state.
Yep.
And the thing that really should get you is that when it comes to the civil case, and people don't realize that this can happen, civil cases can change public policy as well, can't they, Drew?
Yes, they absolutely can. And, what will justice be for these people? You know, I don't know. Mm. I'm looking at this. And whenever you read this case and you read about this story, I hope it makes people mad. I hope it makes thinking people the most upset as it could ever make you upset. Well, because that's what it did for me. And I just think, what will justice look like to a people to a city that doesn't, that has little to no trust in the elected officials that they have right now? Probably little to no trust in the city, in the state government that they have right now. Goes out on a limb to vote for a change in place for presidential politics for the first time since 1988, and we're finding out that that's not working out well for them either. So, if you are living in or around Flint, Michigan, frustration is not the word that you use. It's so much deeper than that. It's way heavier. And I sympathize with them. I can't empathize because I don't know what it's like to not go without water or to have constant dirty water. I don't know what that's like. But I could sympathize with their frustration and trying to make a change and trying to feel something here. It's a horrific scene, and I don't know what justice is going
to
look like.
You know, I hate to interrupt you, but you're sounding very John Stewart. I hate to be undiplomatic and angry right now, but I'm angry.
Yeah.
Moment.
Sorry.
No. Anger is deserved because the civil case that's going forward is a woman who came forward with her child and basically said, look, your water permanently messed up me and my kid, and you knew about it and you didn't do anything about it. So now we're going after you. The thing that can happen with this case is that we do have to show from the state officials and the county officials, comrades, who did this act, we have to show from them that look, they knew that this was going to happen. They knew it was a big possibility because they didn't spend the planned money to clean up the Flint water supply. That's the whole reason we stopped using it in the first place. Now, after they did not clean it up to the proper levels, they overran all of the money, and they just said, screw it, threw the switch anyway, because at that point, they were in a catch-22. Switch over to Flint, or let the city go bankrupt, taking the clean water supply that they currently have. So, poison your people, go broke. They chose poisoning their people, in hopes that they could get everything down below, the acceptable line, way before anybody caught them. Trouble. Yep. Lead poisoning is very, very quick to show symptoms. It's one of the fastest things that can show symptoms if you have a polluted water supply. Besides, you know, the obvious arsenic, cyanide, the stuff that just starts killing you instantly. But fun fact for you, Drew. What was it that eventually brought down the mighty, powerful Roman Empire? It was lead pipe.
Ah.
Water poisoning. Water poisoning in their infrastructures and aqueducts was the beginning of the end of the Roman Empire. If you don't believe me, look it up. There's a whole lot of factors that brought down the Roman Empire, including apathy. But yeah. That's what it seems to be the word of the day when it comes to Flint, Michigan. There was apathy on the part of the officials that were testing the water because their only other option was to go broke. There was apathy on the White House to do some very pressing kind of public pressure campaign against these officials for screwing up people's lives. And when I say screwing up people's lives, there's children in Flint that are permanently lead poisoned. That means that their brains will not develop to the right and adult level that they would have developed were their water not contaminated. We have literally robbed a generation of a lot of its intelligence and its chance for greatness, and nobody cares. So the civil course going forward, and this is the thing that I really, really like, Drew. Republicans are coming out and saying, oh, well, you know, this is just another thing where the liberals are hoping that they'll get it over and just blame people for their problems, but they knew the blah, blah. Whatever. Then there's the left side that's on this that's going, oh, I see. We can't get the guys, the dirty buggers that did this to us, so we have to go after them in a civil court, but oh, we'll take what we have to, even though it's totally wrong and it sucks for us. Both sides are going to claim losing on this. However, the one thing that people should realize is that there is an entire generation of people that will not excel to the level they could have excelled to because we poisoned them and then, as a nation, ignored them and continued to ignore them.
You hit the nail on the head. In the ongoing, and this is where party politics, and I hate to say this, but trumps a lot of lives, because you're exactly right. Even whenever we talk about education policy, this falls right into it. You know, well, the right does this, well, the left does that, and Democrats are this, and Republicans are that. You are seeing that play out right there, because we will see it. We probably have already seen it. Maybe we even ignored it because it's not in our own kitchen or in our own bathtub. Is that, well, this is a Republican fault, or this is a Democratic fault, or it was those people who put it in there. You're missing the point. The point is the fact that there is a generation in or around Flint, Michigan, that is going to have permanent problems. And that goes beyond party label. I mean, lead poisoning doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, or if you're white or black, or you're poor, or doesn't matter about any of that stuff. It gets into your area. And this is what we found. I don't care who's at blame. I don't care if that mayor and Flint, Michigan voted Democrat since it came into the union. I don't care if it's been, you know, how many times it wants to vote for Trump. Doesn't make it right, no matter what the label is. Whoever's at blame, whether they're independent, libertarian, green, I don't care. They need to face the fullest extent of punishment.
Yeah,
and the parties have got and ideologies have got us. This is where, you know, taking claim and pointing blame is a far, far cry from what the real issue is.
Oh yeah, because let's talk a little bit about one of those issues in the blame game that people forget. They're still poisoning them. We haven't fixed the supply yet.
Nope.
It's still an ongoing issue. And there's over 20,000 more Flint, Michigans from the United States. And that's only the ones that we currently know about.
That's right. That's right. And I think, I want to make this a bit of a larger thing. And
we've poisoned an entire generation, Drew. How much bigger can we get?
This is an infrastructure problem. This is an infrastructure problem. And this is something that both political parties can agree on, is we got to improve our infrastructure. How you want to do it, that's in the fine details. You can debate about that. But it has to be done, and it has to be done quickly. Mm-hmm. We cannot afford, our lives cannot afford to go any further than where it is now without fixing our pipes and fixing this water supply. This is a topic that is ever so important, but it never, hardly ever gains any traction because it's not, Russia, or it's not Trump, saying something stupid on Twitter. I mean, this type of stuff doesn't gain any type of traction. This is a real life thing. When the Chamber of Commerce, who is incredibly conservative, and the AFL-CIO, which is incredibly liberal, both agree that we have to improve the infrastructure of this country in all 50 states, that should ring alarms, ring bells, heck, crack the Liberty Bell again for all I care. This is the top thing that we have to worry on.
Yeah.
And because poisoning children and losing generations to a health problem that can easily be fixed, that's shameful.
It is. And the thing is that until the infrastructure is improved in the United States, this is a story that's going to start in Flint, but it's going to jump city to city, town to town, state to state, and it's not going to end. Flint is not the ending. This is the beginning.
That's right.
And the problem that I find with a lot of the partisan politics that we have in this country now is, well, I did say you were getting a little John Stewart-y earlier. Think about that. This is a guy that had to go in front of the House and basically say, hey, remember when you said you would take care of the people that take care of you? Keep your promise. Do your job.
That's right.
Common sense. I don't want to be the person that says, common sense, fix your infrastructure. But if this has to be somebody's mission in life, and I know infrastructure is not sexy, which from what I heard is incredibly a lot like me, but this very unsexy subject, if this is going to be my calling card from now on, I don't care because from town to town, like I said, Flint will become a pattern of behavior, not a precedence for change.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the biggest things that states will say is that, well, infrastructure takes a lot of money. And you're right, it does. When you have to update pipes and you have to update, roadways and you have to update all the waterways, that takes money. But you point to where you can say, look, if we spend this amount and on this particular thing and it can save X amount of lives, I don't think people would be upset at the fact that you want to save particular people's lives by updating the pipes and all the other waterways and aspects of a state or a city or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's something that people go, hey, well, I think that'd be great. But, there's cheap ways where you can Band-Aid a broken arm. Well, I broke my arm. Well, all I can afford to give you is a Band-Aid. That's the route that a lot of states have taken when it comes to this, especially the state of Texas.
You guys have problems with bridges.
Yes, we have problems with a lot of stuff, and what a lot of mayors and what a lot of city councils and even the state legislature will say is, well, here's some money to do the cheapest thing possible that can prevent anything further for the next 2, 3, 4 years. Do that, and you're going, why? Why don't we spend money to fix the problem? Therefore, we don't have to keep coming back and asking for more Band-Aids. I think this is what you're going to consistently see from cities. What's the cheapest thing that I can do for the best thing area, for the best for my area? Well, the cheapest thing for you to do is to plan 20 years down the road and to stem the problem now.
Even bigger, like an entire poison generation.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, many people may not know this, and maybe I've said this before on the show, but it bears repeating. The rural areas are going to feel this more than, I shouldn't say more, but the rural areas are going to feel this, and they're going to wonder, you know, these small towns that have very small budgets and these areas that don't have any particular type of money to do this, they're going to say, oh my gosh, I just turned on my faucet and I don't, and it's now the water's brown. I turned on my shower and it's incredibly, you know, it's not clear water. What the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. Well, that is an emergency. And so at some point, this is going to happen. This isn't fear-mongering. This is not fear-mongering. This is correct forecasting. This will happen. And until states, until areas start to prioritize updating and creating new infrastructure, this will be a normal. And we're going to have dead dead children. Yeah. And, you know,
it's a hard thing to say. It's like, and we're going to have dead kids. It's not like a weather report. It's not like you can be like, well, we're going to have some clouds and dead kid. It's not, you can't just casually say this and not get a little choked up. This is an actual problem that will kill children. It's common sense. We should fix this.
That's right.
Our likelihood of fixing it, though, probably depends on whether or not this civil case actually goes through and we find that public officials can be held accountable for, oh my God, I'm going to say it, public health.
Yeah, that's right.
So common sense here at the end of the day should fix this story, but the reason that we're getting so frustrated, and once again, there's a cold front moving in and dead kids everywhere, this is a forecast of things to come. It's not pretty. It's not going to be something that we can drum up and make sound funny. It's just that is going to be the way of our life. And if you don't like it, maybe think of changing it because that is our future.
That's right.
So, and this is the thing, because I mean, we've got like 7 or so minutes left. I got to talk about common sense when it comes to foreign diplomacy, because besides just killing an entire generation of our own kids, it looks like the president is also warmongering and trade warring enough that he can affect generations of children from all around the world. In the latest shenanigans, though, that he's done, he has probably threatened a lot more of children in this country's future from living in a country that's not, quote-unquote, for sale. I'm talking, of course, about the part of Donald Trump's interview with George Stephanopoulos where he basically said, hey, give me information. I'll take it. If it's from a foreign source, why not? That's just called oppo research, even if it comes from another country. But I hate to tell him, inside of the Constitution, it says something about that being, I don't know, a little bit illegal. Drew, taking foreign intelligence, legal or not legal?
Yeah, it's illegal. Yeah, there's really no gray area here. For him to say this, and we've touched on how, you know, Senator Lindsey Graham has been Trump's lapdog, and for the lapdog to jump down off the lap and to start growling and barking at you, that should be a very telling sign, for him to, you know, say, hey, wait a minute, that's not a good idea. Mitt Romney, who's now the senator out of Utah, you know, even he has said, you know, this isn't a very good idea. He's actually been quite critical in particular areas of the president, maybe because he still wants to be the president. But that's a whole other conversation for another time.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, this whole thing you're not going to take money. You're not going to get information. No candidate can do that. Not exactly the most legal thing that you can really do here. So for him to say this in an interview that gets played nationwide. I'd do it. Yeah, sure. And then he has to call up his own buddy on the Fox network, because, you know, that's his network, that and the One America network. Has to call him up and say, hey,
they were mean to me.
I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean it like that. This is what I really meant to say. This is one thing I always credit Trump on. He's never had to clarify what he had to say. People knew exactly what he meant because he's been so clear about it. I want to build a wall. Did you really mean you want to build a wall? Yeah, I said it. I want to build a wall. Okay. So there's never been any clarification on that. But when he says this, he gets into murky legal problems. Then he has to clarify something. That should be a stunner first. When Trump has to clarify something, I didn't think anything was unclear. Might have been unwell said or not well said.
Illegal. I'm just going to throw that out there. Highly illegal.
Yeah, even that too. But for him to say, well, I'd take it, and then I'd call the FBI.
Well, this is...
So I'm going to steal a car, and then I'm going to say, oh, hey, cops, by the way, I just stole a car. I don't believe any of that.
No, and this is the thing. Mike Pompeo seems to think that he is stunned. Stunned, I tell you, Drew, at the fact that we do not understand that the president understands the difference between legal and illegal. Stunned, I tell you, because Mike Pompeo actually tried to play a little bit of the victim here and be like, you know what the president said. You knew it. And it was almost contemptuous. But Pompeo basically said this. In a nutshell, the president doesn't use toss away words or whatever everybody else's defenses of it was. He just goes, look, if you think that somebody knows something bad about somebody you're up against, wouldn't you take it too? Now, regardless of whether or not we file it, wouldn't you just want to know these things? You know, he tried to take it to this. Well, common sense says you want to know the things that you want to know. No. Common sense says the Constitution says that's illegal.
Yeah.
A Supreme Court case not too long ago proved that information is, in fact, a commodity that can be gifted, which therefore makes it something illegal to receive. Mm-hmm. Now, with all of this, we've got like 3 minutes left. With all of this grandstanding out there over this issue of is it legal, is it not legal? Oh, you know what the president said. Oh, of course he wouldn't do this, blah, 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 blah. He was very, very clear, Donald Trump was, when he basically put the country up for sale by saying in an interview, if you send me information, I'm going to look at it first. That was a secret dog whistle to other countries to jump in our elections, wasn't it?
I think it was. But, you know, I get the idea of opposition research. I do. But you don't take it from another country. That's for sale. That's illegal. That's just not happening. That's no. Okay. For Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, to go on a network that has been ever so kind to him and the administration, and for him to play the victim and say, well, you know, you guys should know this sort of thing. That's compelling. That is just simply just telling of this entire administration how they don't want to answer to anybody, even the people who are the nicest to them. And Chris Wallace, who along with Britt Baer, who might be the only two journalists at that, you know, pro-Trump rag of a network.
They can't even
say, you know, hey, this is a legitimate question. I'm going to ask you.
Nope.
You know. Yeah. Apparently, you know, having that type of idea is just behooved to them.
Yep.
And shame on Mike Pompeo.
Well, that's going to do it for our show. Until next time. Ooh, just remember, common sense is a thing and we should probably use it from time to time. Drew, have a good day today and try not to go crazy.
I will do my best. It's always fun to be with you, Shaggy.
For everybody else, till next show, stay sane. Love you, mean it.